Oh, Cyber Monday is going big time. 60% of people admitting that they will be shopping while they're working. Julie and I are not amongst them because this radio show would crash if we tried to juggle like that.
Too much.
But a lot of people out there are doing it, and a lot of people are putting themselves in a position where they could be scammed. Cyber Monday scams are really a thing. How to stay safe and shop online. We're joined by Damian Fortune. Is it Fortune or Fortune, Damian?
Fortune, like the wheel.
Damian Fortune is a cybersecurity expert and the CEO of Centrix, a global leader in secure communication solutions. He's going to talk us through this. Good afternoon. Thanks for being with us, Damian. How big a deal is this on big online days like Cyber Monday?
Yeah, I mean, hey, guys, thanks for having me. It's certainly a bigger deal today. Everyone is getting reminded on every device they have for every vendor email they've ever signed up for. So they're just being bombarded with text messages and emails and all of those sorts of things. And that just presents more and more opportunities for the bad guys to sneak in a link or a QR code or a coupon that that leads you to a place where you end up getting your information stolen.
That's what kind of disappoints me, John. I don't know about you, but the QR codes, it's becoming more and more common.
Yeah.
And you feel like your guard's down. Okay, I'll just scan that. And then it can take you right to a really bad site, right, Damian?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the bad guys kind of prey on the fact that when you're scanning a QR code, the code takes care of everything for you, right? You're not typing in a website address. You're not clicking on it from Google. You're really just kind of at the mercy of wherever that link takes you. And it's just that little bit of distraction that's really all that's needed generally.
So the QR code that Julia mentioned can lead to phishing sites and phishing scams. Can you explain to people what phishing is?
Yep, exactly. So phishing, in short, is just impersonation, whether that's pretending to be a person or pretending to be a business. And the idea is to get them, to get you to give them information that you otherwise wouldn't, you know, assuming that they were a legitimate business or a person. You know, those sorts of attacks are so much more sophisticated now because of AI than they were even a few years ago, right? You know, the email that was poorly worded from a Nigerian prince trying to split his inheritance with you is kind of a thing of the past, right? Now with ChatGPT and Google Gemini, you can actually put together really convincing materials that look a lot like a sales email or a text message from the USPS and things like that. And unfortunately, that just makes the traps a lot more appetizing for a lot of folks out there.
And you know what's really interesting is that a lot of shoppers, they see the time to buy is now and stressed to buy it quickly. And that's when your guard can also come down, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, everyone's kind of had the cyber training or has listened to lists of tips like this before. But all it takes is, you know, some distraction that's going on, like you said, rushing to get the holiday shopping done, or maybe the family's around for the holidays. And it's those little slips that add up.
Cybersecurity expert Damian Fortune is with us. I think a lot of people, Damian, look for places where they can use unsecured free Wi-Fi, malls, cafes. The key part of that being that they're often unsecured. What sort of danger does that pose for people who are using those unsecured networks?
Yeah, I mean, those are actually some of the more scary places. Unfortunately, those insecure networks, a lot of that traffic is just in the open air or designed to be intercepted. So whatever you're sending over sites there can be picked up. And you know, a lot of it, the e-commerce can sometimes be secured if the site's doing things the right way. But at the same time, sometimes it's not. And you end up either giving away personal details or at worst, you know, even your credit card number over the air.
There's something with ethics that people have to sign when they learn all of this type of things, like the back channels. And at UW-Madison, I followed a professor who went on one of the websites, and, you know, where you can have the free Wi-Fi, and went up to a bunch of students and was like, I can see your Facebook. I can see your credit card information. I can see everything you're clicking on right now. So, Damian, how easy is it to, you know, steal someone's information if you go onto some type of Wi-Fi that isn't secure?
It's painfully easy these days. There are services out there where you can actually kind of rent a hacker or rent a hacking tool that costs, you know, $15 a month, and you can do exactly that. It's a pretty scary world we live in these days.
Oh, that's awful.
It is. You know, Damian, malware can be part of this, being used to steal financial information. What is malware and how does it work?
Yeah, so malware is malicious software that gets installed on your machine, normally by clicking a link that you're not supposed to, and a website will kind of install it in the background. those tools are designed to do everything from scraping every keystroke that you make on your keyboard to randomly taking screenshots of your screen, hoping to kind of pick up information that might be displayed at a particular point. The tough part is that once the links are clicked to install that stuff, it's actually really hard to root out sometimes. A lot of places have firewalls and things like this, but it doesn't really matter how many locks you have on your front door if you open the window. And a lot of these phishing emails are designed to put in links that do exactly that.
So I feel like I'm in timeout permanently here at work. I'm always getting the extra training. I'm always the guy that Julia and I checked last, I think it was Wednesday, and I had 390 focused emails that I got. So I go through too fast. And sure enough, one looks interesting. I don't know. My boss said he wanted to give me a $50,000 raise and click this link. And the next thing you know, I'm in additional training. Those links that can lead to suspicious activity, how does that end up leading to my financial stuff being compromised?
Yeah, so a lot of times it's a combination of all the stuff we've talked about already. So you get that email that looks really convincing, you click the link, you hit a website that then installs something in, let's say it's Google Chrome that you're using, that basically from now on is looking for a 16-digit number anytime you type one. And that 16-digit number would be your credit card. And as soon as it finds one, it beams it off to whoever the bad guys were that that installed that software on your computer. And then they're able to, you know, either use that number or sell it on to someone else.
There's another thing that is so easy, but a lot of people don't realize. They can go onto a website, you know, like Ann Taylor or something like that, some Ulta or Kohl's even, and they just are one letter off, and it can take you to an unsecure website. How do you know if you are on a secure website?
Yeah, so look for the little lock next to the URL in the URL bar. That's the biggest tip we can give folks. Other than that, it's really just taking the extra second to look at it. The other thing we try to tell folks on vendor websites is to stay away from storing your credit card information. You know, it's just one of those things where even if it's not your mistake, sometimes the vendors themselves get breached and those numbers end up getting compromised. So, you know, either don't store your credit card or use a payment processor like a PayPal or something like that to put that additional layer between you and the bad guys.
AI, an incredible tool. We're using it here on a regular basis at work. It can make us more efficient. It can make things quicker and easier. AI scammers, though, you know, are out there as well. What role can AI play in scamming people?
Tons of roles, unfortunately. The simple ways are, you know, generating these really convincing emails or text messages. The AI actually now can go through and basically guess every phone number and guess every email address to make sure that those spam or phishing emails are getting out to everyone on the internet, basically. But the other thing is the more sophisticated scams are now using, are changing people's voices, for example. So what used to be call centers or scammers in other parts of the world, like India, you can actually run AI over the voice connection and remove the accent. So they sound like, you know, some American person from some store that's trying to help you. Or in the worst cases now, some of these programs are scraping your social media and getting video clips of you and assembling what is essentially a likeness of your voice so that they can then turn around and call your social connections and ask for money and things like that.
He is Damien. We appreciate you being with us, Damien Fortune. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Take care.